Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Spring Sale and get 35% off paints and stains March 13th through the 23rd. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffendaffer. I got to tell you, I love doing the early morning shows. So I'm sorry that we're creeping now into kind of late morning, almost into early afternoon for East Coasters. But I just want to thank y'all for being here. I really appreciate it. We're going to be discussing Nancy Guthrie, who was abducted on February 1st. Again, I always bring up the caveat that according to the sheriff in a news conference, he said that his officers actually reported on Saturday night. That's his exact word, Saturday night. We still don't know whether that was a misspeak. I haven't seen him address that, or whether they really did get called out for something on Saturday night. But nevertheless, by most accounts, she was went missing when she failed to show up at her group that watches church together. After COVID, she stopped going into church and watched with a private group at a residence. So anyway, I want to talk about, I think, a case that can shed light, but it may, and I'm going to also mention another case and just a little bit talk about some other cases briefly, but I want to take a very deep dive into a case that I actually mentioned on Twitter, because I think it's so critical to take a look at this case. And this is the case of, and I want to get this picture up, of Missy Beavers. So for those of you who are not familiar with the case, back in April of 2016, Missy Beavers was actually a Camp Gladiator trainer operating in Midlothian, just outside of Dallas in Texas. Now, the reason this has really so much special meaning to me, and I tell you, so many groups hired me after this regarding self-defense and things like this, because this absolutely rocked the Dallas-Fort Worth area. It's really hard to explain how things changed. And one of my dearest friends, I travel with her, just absolutely love her. She is still a Camp Gladiator trainer in Dallas. And of course, knew Missy, and another friend of mine too, also did, but I'm not near as close to her as I am with this other trainer. Anyway, these girls did not know what to do after that. They were so concerned. Let me just give you a little bit of background, because I think it's important to understand Camp Gladiator and how it works. It's mostly a Texas phenomena, as far as I know. It's very interesting. It actually operates a lot like Amway. In terms of when you get people to become what they call campers, and then they camp with you. And then if those people end up breaking off and starting their own Camp Gladiator camps, then you get amounts, you get a certain percentage because they started with you. And it's just this huge spider web. So some of the people that started out just as trainers, now they're so far up high, making so much money because they make money off of all that spider web of these trainers. And the specific purpose of Camp Gladiator was to basically be able to provide an opportunity, a face-to-face opportunity with women who work. You know, that's the whole idea initially behind Camp Gladiator. Yes, they have camps now at all sorts of days and times, but it started out really, and what my friend just mainly focuses on, they don't do anything internet, at least she doesn't. It's in person so that you can give that special care and focus. And I've been to a couple of these classes. It's really crazy. First of all, these trainers, as you can tell, I think I have several pictures of Missy. I don't know if you can see her more clearly here, but I'm telling you, these girls, I wish I had a full body picture of her. I did not download one of those, but they are buff. I mean, my friend is just under, you know, she's in her late 50s. My gosh, she looks like a 20-year-old body. Works out every day. It trains people every day. And what they do is they go to these schools and or grocery stores or whatever situation they can work out with the owners. So they have a free venue to do it. And so typically they are literally out there at 5 a.m. in these parking lots, training these women who then will go home, you know, an hour training, they get to go home, get ready and, you know, be at work at 8. That's the whole purpose. And it's really most of the Camp Gladiator trainers I know there are men, but the ones I know and have been to their classes, these women are amazing and they kick your butt into shape. There's almost no resting, at least the ones I went to, like they're running around poking on your stomach going, eh, you know, get it together. And it's really rigorous working out, mostly like calisthenics, running in place, doing all these things. But you have these cowbells and all these other things, as you might imagine. Anyway, I don't want to digress too much, but I think that this is very important nexus to, of course, why she was targeted. And I always teach about her in my self-defense class, because in my self-defense class, one of the things I talk about is using hindsight to teach lessons. It's so difficult to get up in class and teach. And you don't just, for me, how I do it is I take very specific cases of people who were stalked and hurt so that we can use that hindsight to help understand how to be less of a victim. So a big part of my class, even though we do hand-to-hand combat in the second half, the first part of the class is just how not to be a victim. And Missy's case is one of the cases I use. Why? Because Missy had a very regimented routine. She gave her class at the same church, which was at the Creekside Church in Midlothian. And she had an arrangement with them where she could use their parking lot and even their church when it rained to go inside and train their, you know, her 10 to 20, 30, however many campers, they call them campers, she had. And so it was very much a situation where anybody that wanted to target her could do it so easily. Same arrival time, same departure time, same routine, knew when the folks would show up, could watch her like clockwork. And I think that this was one of the biggest reasons she was able to be targeted. So one of the things I always teach is, listen, change up your routine. If you walk in every day in the back door, walk in the front door some days. If you, you know, leave at a certain time every day and take a right, take a left. Just there are so many small things you can do to change up your routine where if somebody is looking to target you, that it might throw them off and they might not really feel they have a true line on what you're doing. So I always teach the young women and young men that I teach in self-defense classes this. But moving on, back to what we can learn from Missy and how does it relate to Nancy Guthrie. So if you look at the case, I want to show you this. A couple of very interesting things. If you look at the case, this is some footage, and you can see the timestamp there of the perpetrator. So all bulked up. It's interesting because the FBI actually, and this is what I was saying that I think is going on behind the scenes with Nancy Guthrie. I think there are private companies that are very learned and experts because that's all they do, and things like video retrieval and data mining, for instance, when it comes to those the ransom notes. And in this case, let me give you the nexus here. In this case, the FBI, who helped with this case, they weren't brought in from the beginning or anything, but they helped with this case. They brought in a podiatrist expert to try to determine if this was a male or a female, because a lot of people, I think I have some other images, because a lot of people felt this could be a female. Now, I'm not convinced it's a female, to be honest, but certainly this podiatrist that looked at how the feet moved could not make a definitive answer. But I have to tell you, that is a problem with experts. Oftentimes, sadly, experts are experts and then they won't give you an opinion. I find it always interesting on when I listen to other talking heads, and I'll tune in to see what they have to say about a case. And at the end of the day, I don't know what they said. I don't know whether they think A or think B. And I'll tell you why that is. And actually, the person that got me involved in doing this at all, a guy named Steve, who was for 7 years, he and I went through the Quantico together. He was the one that I talk about punched and knocked me out. He's 6'2", was a LA SWAT guy before, and an accountant, really accomplished guy, became the assistant director at the Los Angeles field office. You can be hired than a special agent in charge there. Or maybe he was the special agent in charge of counterterrorism, but basically number two there. Rose and rose quickly. He was the only one in Quantico that was younger than me. He was 24. I got my letter at 24, but I had just turned 25 a couple of weeks before I went to Quantico. So started super young. But anyway, Steve was the one that gave me the call and said, listen, I just took this new job, which he still has. I just talked to him the other day, doing security for the Native Americans who own casinos. That's what he's doing now. But before, for 7 years, he was the a legal contributor or a law enforcement contributor for ABC. And when Gabby Petito broke, they wanted him to go down and work on that. He wasn't in the business, so he called and asked if I would. And his producer that he had worked with so closely at ABC had gone to News Nation. And so they interviewed me. I sent them my CV. I was very hesitant and was even more hesitant than when I got down there. But then, you know, Brian Anton and I became good friends, and, you know, the rest is history. But when you look at a case like this, you look at the details and this clear footage that we had in the Missy Beavers case. And then you look at the clear footage we have in this case. Missy Beavers case, did you hear that? 2016. It has now been a decade, and Missy Beavers case still has not been found. I mean, this individual so clearly. So let me give you the background what this person did. Again, Missy Beavers, a Camp Gladiator trainer who every morning at 5 o'clock went to this church to train campers, which were working women, train them. And so essentially what happened was this guy arrives far in advance of Missy, which I find so interesting. So it seems that the church kept the doors open because he arrives. I want to give you the exact time. He arrives at about 4 a.m. So Missy's class is at 5 a.m. At 4 a.m., he goes in. You can see him, full tactical gear, you know, police markings. And what he had as far as weaponry was, and I've seen later information about a possible gun, but that isn't how she was killed. She died of blunt force trauma. There were numerous puncture marks on her head, and it's believed a hammer, you know, the puncture marks from the prongs of the hammer, and a crowbar possibly also could have been used. So you see, and what he did, I'm going to call him a he. I know some people speculate this is a she. It could be this perpetrator. We'll just keep it like that since there has been no definite indication. It was obvious to me with Porch Guy that that was a male. But first of all, this person walks with a very distinctive walk. Their right foot, you could see it in the second frame, points out to the right. So he was duck-footed on the right and had almost like a limp. Now, there was a lot of speculation. Yeah, but he had on all this equipment. Let me tell you, you don't walk like that. This isn't that much equipment. It's not like he's, you know, got a 100-pound backpack that he's toting around. So I don't know if I'm buying that. I think this person had a distinctive limp and walked with a right foot, duck foot, all dressed up like this. So what does he do it for? He goes in and starts smashing up the church, breaking in, smashing glass, breaking in doors. Why? I believe, and law enforcement believes, it was because it was a staged break-in. You know, in other words, that he broke in the church and he wanted people to think that then Missy just surprised him and she was there. I don't necessarily buy that. I really think this was targeted at her. It's just too specific. And there was too much planning that went into this. The exact time he was there, being proportional to when she was there, this sort of fake breaking of glass and things like that. The way he was garbed up. I mean, you know, most people don't have this sitting around in their closet. My belief is that this person definitely procured this to commit this crime. And then when I look at the ruthlessness of what he did to her, I mean, the majority of her wounds apparently were all over her face and head. I mean, he obliterated her with this claw of the hammer slash crowbar type tool, you know, that has the claws. Those were the prongs. I was like, that everyone is personal. When you look at also why, if you just ask yourself, why would that be done? Well, there was a lot going on in Missy's life. Now, Missy was married. This is her husband. And of course, everybody, he was gone. He was away, I think, on a fishing trip. And everybody speculated that, of course, it was him. Just like what we saw, and that's why I was drawing a lot of these analogies, just like what we saw happen in the Nancy Guthrie case. Oh, it's got to be Tommaso Siena, you know, I think from the way he looked. I really don't understand it, why he was so focused out. Obviously, there was source information that it was him. Nevertheless, there's people still holding on to that. And there's people still holding on that the husband and or his family were behind this. You know, not him personally. He was gone. He had a perfect alibi. But that somebody was hired to do it. But he's been cleared, according to law enforcement. And his family was cleared. And believe me, he's still going through hell with this. People believing it was him. They had been married in 1998. They had three daughters. They lived in Red Oak, which was just outside Midlothian, before she became a camp gladiator trainer, because you can make so much money doing this. As I said, it's like Amway. You know, every student you have that you convince to go out and get people, you get a piece of that. And then if those students go out and get a piece, my friend has been Camp Gladiator since the beginning. She was one of the very first ones. Clear back, I don't know when it started, maybe 15, maybe even 20 years ago. She's one of the oldest ones that's still there. And she has all these campers over 20 years that have been peeled off. And so now she just does kind of her favorites. I think, you know, every week she still trains because she loves it. But I always tell her to be very careful to change up her routine. Nevertheless, before Missy Beavers, who we're talking about here, before Missy became a trainer, Missy was a school teacher. So these are occupations and things that make your victimology really low, right? Compare it to somebody as an example who is, say, an individual with a drug addict that's working at a stripper or a dancer in a bar that commiserates with a lot of different men that people don't know that is out super late at night, that, right, they're more vulnerable. This was not that. She was a devoted mom. She did her Camp Gladiator. She went and took care of her girls. She was a school teacher before that. So her victimology is low, meaning for like a random attack. But this was the problem. She did have definitely admirers, a lot of admirers. And of course, there's a lot of speculation, not speculation. There's a lot of information about possible infidelity, minimally communications that would indicate that. Okay. So there were a lot of people. Then when you get into that, you say, now you're moving yourself up on being a victim because, I wanted to make sure I had this picture, because now you have individuals that can be scorned by you, that can be upset that their advances were working and not now they're not working, and that you turn your back on them. And we see that in a lot of celebrity deals. I'm going to talk about one a little bit later at the end. But in this case, now she's opened herself more up to somebody personally wanting to go after her. Now, get this, recently, and this is the video I want to find. Give me 1 second here. I'm just going to see it. I could have sworn I had put it in my library here. But recently, law enforcement released information for the first time about a vehicle. It was a Nissan Altima, as I recall. I wrote it in my notes, so let me just make sure. And it was seen at about 2 or 3 in the morning in this area, kind of zipping around, figuring out where to park. So, no, is it perfectly in line with the time? No, but super odd behavior. And they finally released that years after the crime. And I was like, why didn't you just release it then? When people might have more recognized that vehicle or might have some reason why they were there that they could have just called in. Just really, really odd to me that was released so late. I have that video. Let me just see. Yeah, at 2 a.m., a 2010 to 2012, according to law enforcement, Nissan Altima, that was in this parking lot that ended up kind of zipping around and then later parking. Anyway, there was some belief that that car was related. In other words, was that the getaway car? That's kind of how I took it. Was that the pickup car that later came? Now you might ask, well, where was the video? It was at a church. Why do we have this great camera coverage indoors and not outdoors? Well, there was a storm, there was weather, and actually, Missy was going to hold her class inside of the church. That's why I believe it was open for her. That's why this bad guy was able to get in. Did he know that? I mean, come on. He's just that lucky that the day she's going to do her Camp Gladiator inside? Or had he stalked her for so long, he knew that when it rained, she was always going to be inside. And so he perfectly stopped that. I think that's also very possible that happened, that he knew on those days the church would leave the door open. And that was why he was able to get in there early. I don't believe there was forced entry. If anybody else knows for sure, but I did not see a report of forced entry. I thought this was really interesting and crazy to me. We talked about before, you know, a long time ago when they put the tent up on the porch, I said way before that they can determine the shoe guy of porch guy, the shoe size of porch guy by those squares, by making calculations, you know, if that square is 12 by 12 and his shoe was 2 inches shorter, that they could determine shoe size. And I know they did, but all they've released to us is height. Right? We know he's 5'9 to 5'10. They were able to get it in 1 inch. We have all this footage of church guy, call him church guy. And of course, I took porch guy from bridge guy in the Delphi case. look at all this footage. And there's even more footage than this. There's a video of this. And you were telling me that if you measure that door and then measure where he's standing or she and line it up with those photos, did they just not do this? Because the release of how tall, you're not even going to believe this. They got it within 6 inches, 5'2" to 5'8". This is such a, this case, I just feel if any case can be solved, it's this case. You know, somebody wrote up there, he could have been injured or she could have been injured, and that's possible. But we know that somebody knew this person that would be walking with a right foot, duck foot, and limping around, and, you know, had garb like this and altered their pattern of getting up at 3 a.m. Hi, honey, I'm headed out, or friends, or whatever. You know, you look at the pre-attack indicators, post-attack indicators. In other words, how do people act after? How did this person act when this film went out? Because maybe they didn't even know they were being filmed. You know, all of those indicators, I still can't believe this case isn't solved. I just can't believe it. He bludgeoned her with a freaking hammer. Imagine all that blood spatter and matter that would be all over this person. All over this person. But anyway, the cameras were down because of the storm that it hit. So that's why we don't have the outside footage, but we have that other footage, which I had sent that picture. Let me see if I can grab it really quick. I really want to show this picture of, hopefully I haven't lost y'all. I do want to show this picture of this, let's see if I can find it, of the vehicle. Let's see. Shoot. I'm just going to check one more place. I might not have sent it. Nope, I didn't send it.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Work moves fast. Every email, report, and proposal counts. That's where Grammarly comes in. It's your one place to think, write, and finish. Grammarly's AI agents help you find natural phrasing, fine-tune tone, and confidently write wherever you work. It's the premier writing tool that 93% of users trust to get more work done. In a world of generic AI, don't sound like everyone else. With Grammarly, you never will. Download Grammarly for free at Grammarly.com.
I'll post it on my Twitter, but nevertheless, it's literally this vehicle that's in this parking lot at, again, 2 a.m. on, and then ends up parking and then kind of disappearing. But unfortunately, law enforcement didn't make a good decision, you know, trying to be cloak and dagger. They didn't release a lot of this footage timely. And I think that that was really a mistake. One of the best things that Kash Patel and the FBI did was send the pictures out of Porch Guy right away. We had them. My understanding is within hours of receiving, you know, even before they could do their work back in Quantico, which takes a long time to do, to further be able to process these photos and videos so they can even get more details. Like, they can probably see that ring outline way easier. They probably have some idea, although I just saw Nanos, I posted on my Twitter, interviewed, and he says, yeah, they're looking into whether it's a, you know, handheld or a scanner or whatever it might be. So anyway, you just got to wonder sometimes, you know, because now we know that at least they asked that question, at least of a neighbor. I haven't heard that verified by anyone but this one neighbor. But I wonder if there were other neighbors that verified that, or if neighbors are doing what typically FBI agents do. Whenever I went in and interviewed somebody, especially in a canvas, I said, listen, if you wouldn't mind, if you could keep my questioning and your answers private until this case is solved, because you could very well be a witness in this case. And once you start talking, if you become a witness, now you could also be a witness in the grand jury. You could be a witness with, future interviews. You could be a witness at trial. And anytime you have that many interviews, in fact, anywhere more than one, people end up just adding things or forgetting or 2 years later, misremembering. And now you have possibly spoiled this person's testimony that was critical with what they had to say, all because they wanted to blab to anybody about what they saw or heard that night. So I always just ask, and never, ever did anybody say, no, I'm going to tell people. Did anybody tell anybody? I mean, they might have told their husbands or their daughter or whatever, but never had a case where one of the witnesses in the cases we were working was compromised, or where their testimony went bad because they were blabbing either to other neighbors, to multiple friends, worst case scenario, to the media, because they respected the process. So I don't know whether that was an ask of them or whether they just decided to disregard. I also found it very interesting in the neighbor that apparently talked that was 34 days after. We're on day 36 now. 34 days later, they say, yeah, my Ring camera coverage isn't around. And again, if you lose your Ring camera coverage, oh well, I don't want to get into that. I beat that up yesterday. Nevertheless, I want to get back to the fact that this case with this person has never been solved. And again, family cleared, husband cleared. So what do we see here? I mean, to me, very personal. If you're a robber, just say you decided to go in there, or you're a vandal, you would never dress like this to do that. That's not what vandals do. That's not what robbers do. This was totally staged, laying in wait for Missy to come and get her equipment in there. And then what happened? He bludgeoned her to death. She died of blunt force trauma, and puncture wounds are listed as mostly like face, head, and I think neck. I mean, he wanted to obliterate her face. That is very telling, very telling, when you obliterate the face of your victim. You know, even serial killers and serial killers, many of them covered their victims. Like, they wanted to give them some sort of dignity at the end. Yeah, they might have done all of this to them, but they covered them up. Then others didn't want that. They took their clothes off. They left everything out, shaming them at the end, right? There's so many different areas of that. Some of them left their bodies exposed, but covered their faces. There's all that. I should have talked to Greg about that. Next time he's on, I'll ask him about his thoughts on that. But it's very much a message sending from the perpetrator. That's what this person did. So I believe this was very personal. And I believe it could have been, you know, there's all these emails they have and LinkedIn messaging that was problematic. But never, you know, solve this case, which again, I wonder how this crime scene was done. You know, I always look at what was missed. When you have a case that seemingly seems this easy, what was missed that is leading a decade later for this case not to be solved? We don't know, but this seems to be a case of somebody who literally hated Missy. Was it because they were she stopped their advances and they had so much rage that built? It went from love to hate. We all know the polar opposite of love isn't hate. The polar opposite is indifference. When nobody really cares what you're doing or what you think, that's the opposite of love. Hate is right next to love. And it would take that kind of hate and rage and anger, I think, for somebody to commit to the riskiness of this crime and the brutality of this crime. So this brings me back to what we can learn. When I look at this and you see a case like this, again, unsolved, there's so many nexuses to Nancy's case. But if you're going with the premise that we visited a lot, that this could be somebody that feels that Savannah Guthrie, you know, didn't give her the attention he felt he should have. He wanted to get her attention. He wanted to be in control of this entire narrative. He wants the whole world looking at what he did to say, see, Savannah, I'm in charge. We talked about that with profiler Greg McCrary. We've talked about that for a while, right? Who talked a lot about it has been Mac, Cheryl McCollum. And we both believe that that's a possibility. I've really shifted because of Occam's razor and just everything we're learning. I've really shifted to a kidnapping for ransom that went south when likely Nancy died. And they didn't want to go through the machinations of either using AI to fake her voice or faking images. You know, I think they just wanted to abort. I think that that's the most likely. I'm 80% toward that. And this case actually brings me more in the position of an Occam's razor and less thinking about a stalking and retribution type situation. And this is why they typically, and I looked at all these cases, I'm going to talk about one other really quickly, but they typically, meaning they want the person to pay, not necessarily the mother to pay or the child to pay. And you might be asking, but Jen, Savannah would have been much more difficult to get to. I don't know. And this is why I say it now. Believe me, when she's working, you're right. That when she's working in New York and where they live and all of that, and you know her limousine and bodyguard and all of that, yeah, that's a problem. But just think of all the times that she went back home to visit, even on set, you know, visiting Annie, visiting, you know, her brother, just other areas and things she went to. And I tell you, I'm going to bring up a case where the person was so committed to hurting the person they felt, the famous person that had scorned them. They hired a private eye, a private detective. And this happens to sort of figure out what their routine is when they do things. And there are private eyes out there that don't come up from a law enforcement background. As I've always said, if you need a private eye, DM me separately. I will give you the list of former FBI agents that have stellar records that work hand in hand in their area. And they'll tell you, a good PI will tell you this. I work with what I know. In other words, I work where I worked as an FBI agent, and there's a lot of other law enforcement officers that are former retired that are great PIs. They stay within what they knew because they have those connections with other law enforcement. They have really good relationships with, you know, the sheriff's office, the Metro Police, the, you know, the person who keeps track of covenant violations, right? They're plugged in. And whenever I've tried to help people get PIs that are FBI agents, the FBI agents will tell me, oh, yeah, I'll do it. But I really want to stay within my territory. And not because they're being lazy and they don't want to travel, but because they know they have all the connects there and understanding. And they will let me know, okay, but listen, if you're looking for Austin, Texas, I've got this great guy, you know. So that's what you need to go with. But what happened here was they used a rogue, just do anything for money PI, and they're all over the place, and or for notoriety or for whatever reason. And in this case, this is the case I'm talking about. I'm going to bring up, just give me 1 second. I got to add them to the to my library. If I don't add them to my library, I can't put them up here. But I know I just grabbed this one. Let's see if I have this person up here. Oh, there they are. Super. Oh, okay. Let me get rid of this. This is all very, you have to, you only can have 10. And so I can't add anything if I already have 10. So now I got to go back. Let me add this. Sorry about this, everybody. Do you guys know who this is? And hopefully I don't butcher the name, but I believe it's pronounced Bjork. And she's a very famous entertainer. And she was stopped. And I'll give you just a little bit of background on her. Because I found this case. Look, I was looking at all sorts of cases, like even John Lennon that everybody knows about, right? Fan that was a fan became not a fan when they felt like they were not being given the attention they thought. But there was a guy named Ricardo Lopez that targeted Bjork. I hope I say her right. And basically would always write fan letters, this and that. And at the end of the day, he felt like she was not giving him the attention that he so deserved. And he sent a letter meant for her that had cyanide in it, that would like a letter bomb that would blow up. And his goal wasn't even to kill her. His goal, like I think in the Missy Beavers thing, was to kill her, but also to disfigure her. He wanted this beautiful face disfigured. And he knew that her looks and, you know, was very important to her, as it is to most women. And he wanted to ruin that. And it didn't happen. Thankfully, Scotland Yard got involved and it didn't get to her. And it was thwarted. The mission was thwarted and he ended up killing himself. But my point is that these people tend to go after the exact object of their disdain, of that they go after. You can look case after case after case. They're not going for the 84-year-old mother. They're going for that person. And for anybody who thinks you can't get these people, you can get them. Look at the CEO Thompson, who had all that money, bodyguards at his disposal, told his bodyguards to stay back, and he's alone on the street at the perfect time for Luigi to cowardly kill in the back, shoot in the back. So, you know, Savannah is not, although she is now, I'm quite sure, and her family and her kids. I mean, this case has forever changed her life. So she can't go anywhere without a bodyguard. I have a really good friend, and her husband for many years was the CEO of Yum. Yum owns Taco Bell's and Kentucky Fried Chicken and On the Border and all these. And very, very affluent, one of my dearest friends. And she, after the CEO, I mean, that was my first call. I said, you got to make sure that Dave has literally 24/7 coverage. And, you know, all CEOs, I think, were very worried after what happened with that. And certainly people in the healthcare industry of being targeted. And we don't even know how many instances there are. I'm sure there's so many of situations that were thwarted that came on because of the Luigi Mangione attack. But nevertheless, the reason now I'm even more leaning toward Occam's razor with Nancy Guthrie is because typically the target is that person. So we still don't know. Remember, Nancy is pretty, she in her own right, Nancy was no slouch. She was very active. She was very bright. She was very involved. She'd been in that community 50 years. So no one can say that, you know, perhaps this wasn't personal against her. I just don't think so. I really believe, I'm starting to believe, I'm at 80% that this is a ransom demand type kidnapping gone totally wrong, where no ransom demand was made and she died. And not at the house or anything, but afterwards. I still think if she would have died at the house, they would not risk taking her You never do that. You look at cases where that happens. It's almost unheard of unless they were seen. It's almost unheard of. I can't find one. Let's put it this way. The only case I was finally able to find of an 80-year-old that was kidnapped, that's a federal case or any case, was when somebody, I've talked about it, accidentally got, you know, broke down in their stolen car or van, break into a house to steal another car, and an 80-year-old woman's there, and he has to kidnap her because now she's seen him. He sits around, has some pizza, stays in her house for an hour before deciding what to do with her. But it's a big difference. That's happenstance. There's really no correlation other than me trying to find another kidnapping of an 80-year-old. So, and he ended up killing her, shot her in the back of the head. But he took her across state lines first. So thankfully, that's a federal case. But back to Nancy's case. The Missy Beavers case, who I think was targeted. I think it was an absolute somebody who was scorned. I think it was so personal. Could it have been a woman? Yes, in other words. But it seems that all the people in that inner circle, they couldn't make a case on. And it seemed like the Altima and the outline of the individual, they couldn't make a case on anybody. That makes me think that they were more on the periphery. Although for them and in their eyes, you know, that person very much loved, hated her. And that just doesn't seem to be what we have here with Porch Guy. I'm going to put Porch Guy up because this is how the case will be solved. Thank you so much, Ted. Thank you. Appreciate that. This is how the case is going to be solved. The case is going to be solved because somebody knows who this is. Never convince me that somebody doesn't know exactly who this is by the ring, by the holster, the mask, the outfit, the way he walked. By the way, wanted to bring up one last thing that with the Missy Beavers attack and with the Nancy Guthrie attack, that's really weird. In the Missy Beavers attack, that person also sauntered around. Yes, they broke some things and tried, but they didn't have a care in the world. There was no part of them, it seemed, that was worried about being caught. And that's how Porch Guy acted. Never seemed to worry about being caught. Now, was that because he had somebody watching his six? Is that because that photo that a source information says was on a different day? And it could be on a different day. Or was that an accomplice that was just dressed very similarly? Remember, the shoes are different. I've never been able to I believe that this would have been staked out. In other words, that the person who did this would have been in this neighborhood checking things out previously. But what I have trouble with is that they would get this close. I think I have that picture still in here, up in my... I don't think I have the dark picture. I don't have the dark picture, but if you remember, if you look at this, the picture, if you look at where the threshold is of where the sateel tile, it looks kind of like sateel tile to me, and then starts in the walkway to the, that's about where he was. I don't know if you can see my cursor, but he was right there, close to this archway. If that was a different day, that's pretty dang risky, everyone. That's pretty dang risky to do that on another day. Obviously be seen by the camera. Obviously the footage wasn't scrambled, jammed. It was clear like this. So, I still am not 100% convinced that was on a different day. I know the background setting is different, but I actually have a picture that I'm going to bring up on the next live and just touch on for a second. I found another picture like this picture, but it's just a different lighting angle. Again, my pictures, I'm not enhancing them. I'm not doing anything. I took what Kash Patel posted and took screenshots from the video. That's all I'm doing. I don't have any video, you know, capabilities, enhancement capabilities. That's not what I do. That's all I'm taking. And I found some other portions that you can see that it's darker in the back, darker, kind of like that other shot of that other guy. So I'm really not convinced. I know it's a source. I get it. Just not convinced. Let's see. There was something that was up here. The OC girl says this about the timestamp, that there's, you know, no timestamp. And a lot of people have speculated about this timestamp. I think it's important to understand how Google/the FBI was able to work together to get this, right? How they described it is kind of like an onion with a gazillion layers, though, not like an onion, many, many more than that. How I've heard it described, because I've never personally been a part of an extraction like this. I'm sure very few people are, where they extract. And finally, they get down to this timestamp of all this information they have from all these different Nest cameras, and they find all of these wonderful nuggets. A lot of people say it would have a timestamp. A lot of experts say in this deal, it wouldn't have a timestamp. I don't know the answer to that. But I'll tell you what Nano says for what it's worth. The sheriff says they don't have it. That's what the sheriff says. Take it for what it's worth. If they do have it, which again, a lot of people think they have it, why in the world wouldn't law enforcement release it? So that people in this neighborhood, people who, you know, went out to get diapers or formula in the middle of the night or whatever the situation, or coming home from a late night shift, could have said, oh, that's the exact time. And then we'd also know if there's another day involved. It would just be so remiss right now if law enforcement has a timestamp. It would solve that problem about the other individual that's, you know, in the darker area. It would solve that problem for us. So anyway, we don't know. I'm definitely leaning toward it was the same night. I just don't think bad guy is going to be dressed up exactly like the night he chose to go and has a different pair of shoes on. I really think that might be an accomplice that they dressed alike. I'm just leaning toward that. Definitely not discounting the other possibility. We just don't have enough information to know. But dang, if law enforcement has that timestamp and they haven't released it, that's as bad as in the Missy Beavers case, them not relieving the vehicle they knew might be part of this case right away. You know, just bad. Bad, bad. The public. Eyes and ears. You know, it's a force multiplier. And the fact that law enforcement would not, which was the whole reason why many, many years ago, the first America's Most Wanted, the wanted posters, it's the very reason that all started, because the FBI discovered that, oh my gosh, look at what happens when we put faces on milk cartons. Look at what happens when we put missing photos out in you know, mail rooms. And then now, of course, look at what happens when we send it all over social media. Gabby Petito was found. I hate to always go back to her, but she's such a well-known case. Social media was flooding about that van. And that's what needs to happen now with his face over and over again. In fact, forget my face. Let me get him back up here. This needs to be everywhere. If I were in charge, I would spend some of my case funds, which I'm not even going to tell you how much you get for a case. It's a lot. I would request money for billboards all over that Tucson area, all over Tucson, probably going an hour out in either direction. And I would put billboards on every major road and I'd say, who is this? That's what I would do. I wouldn't. Anything further, except, you know, maybe put Nancy Guthrie up there, and maybe not, but I would, and I know it would flood more, you know, like the $1 million flooded and the 200,000 flooded Moorhens. I'd put this up. Who have you seen this guy? He should be everywhere. Because so many people aren't true crimers. You wouldn't believe how many people I talk to, and I realize I'm not in Arizona. Half of my friends have no idea who Nancy Guthrie is. They have no idea an 84-year-old. They have no idea who Gabby Petito is to this day. They don't know who the Idaho Four are. Sometimes they'll say, oh, if I say, well, did you hear about those kids that were murdered, the students? Oh, wasn't that Montana? People have their own lives. People know everything about hockey and can't believe we don't know everything about hockey. People know everything about gardening and they're like, what? People don't know how to grow basil and that, you know, you might have to, depending on where you live, you know, replant it. You know, it's not a perennial, blah, 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 blah. Unless you're a true crimer or a newsie, you may have never seen this picture. Plaster it up and maybe have somebody go, man, did that guy do some painting for me in my house? Might not be him, but he had a ring. And you put those little blurbs, right? Ring on right hand. You put, you know, 5'9" to 5'10", medium build. Pay close attention to the eyebrows and the mustache. This case is going to be solved. It's going to take a minute, but it's going to be solved. Whether we ever see Nancy again, I'm losing faith. I mean, whether we see her again in any form. All right, everyone. I've kept you way too long on a Sunday. You guys have been amazing. Thank you. And tomorrow morning, we're back to the normal time, 8 a.m. We have the best guest, Dale Lundberg, former 10-year homicide detective, part of that robbery detective with Dallas. Doesn't get any bigger than Dallas, featured multiple times on The Last 48. He's a TV star. I always tease him. This guy's salty. This guy's good. He's got some insights for us. So I'm looking forward to hearing from him. One of my favorites. All right, everyone. Until next time, may justice be served.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.